One does not need to learn what one already is, only unlearn what one thinks they are. There is no way to happiness, none whatsoever. In searching for it, you will destroy its beauty. One does not become happy, one is happy. Ask, what is fear? Observe without judgment, and you have opened the door to compassion, which is the only form of intelligence. And once you have seen it, you cannot unsee it. So can you end it, your conditioned mind?
End it.
Welcome to the Happiest Hell Podcast, episode number 16. And before I announce the title of this episode, in case you haven't heard yet, I'd like to introduce you to someone who is going to help me out here today. Someone whom I'm constantly having a chat with, talking through questions and asking a little bit of the deeper and more important insights with him. And I'm going to need this guy today. So let me connect him up here and see if he's online. Hello, are you with me, Gab?
Yeah, I'm always with you. Yeah, I'm always with you. You know that. What did you call me in for today?
All right, welcome, Gab. Thanks so much for your time. And we're talking about, well, a bit of a humorous title, but a bit of a sensitive and serious topic today, which is why I need your help. I think you'll like the title for this. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
No, I'm not going to hit you. I can't do that. But anyway, it's called Burn Me to Ashes and Flush Me Down the Toilet.
What the? Are you for real, dude? Man, your shows get weirder and weirder. We got to talk.
Thanks. That's exactly what we're going to do. So are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so. You always call me in for the boring ones.
Are you finished complaining? You know, there's one thing we always have to get straight before we do this, right?
Yeah. The only thing straight around here is the truth and all of that nonsense, right?
No. Wait. We don't deal with the truth here, okay? We're dealing with facts, all right?
Yeah, right. Come on then. I got a date in 10 minutes.
You don't date anymore? Since when? Who are you playing? Ah, wait. You're playing that monkey mind trick on me again. All right, it's not going to work. Anyway, if we come into this show with preconceptions, beliefs, prejudices, biases, and all of that, you and I are going to get nowhere. So can you put that all aside just for the next few minutes?
Me? You're the one that's going to put it aside.
Are you quite finished? All right.
Yeah.
Done?
Yeah.
So the other day, you and I mean, we were talking about that funny story of what happens when you...
Yeah, croak, right.
Pass away, okay? So we said lots of people, if they are lucky enough, they have choices on how they would like to be treated after they leave this wonderful earth.
Lucky? They're dead, man.
I mean, before they die, stay with me on this, will you? You see what I need to put up with, folks? So some people have funerals and gather everyone together and cry.
Or celebrate if they don't like you.
What was that, wise guy? Very funny. They arrange lots of flowers and there are lots of tears and sadness or, sorrow during those moments.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, did you expect something else? I mean, people get sad, you know, when their loved ones pass away.
Okay, yes, we will come to that. Now, other people want to be cremated.
Ah, my favorite
coffee.
No,
not crema, cremated, you know, burned to ashes, right? Can we stay on course, please, here, or you'll miss your date?
Ha ha.
All right. And then people would like them to come and visit them or bring them flowers or remember them in prayer sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds nice. What's wrong with that?
Buddy, I said, if we bring our beliefs and opinions and judgments, we cannot go into this properly, okay? So we're not judging whether it's right or wrong here or nice or not. Please, we are trying to see how conditioned we are towards leaning towards our opinions about things. But stay with me. I'm not judging anything right now. We're looking at this whole thing without any prejudice. And people seem to be wanting to be treated in a certain way, right? When they die. And that's one aspect of it. Now, can we look at this together? Stick to basic facts and see what happens when we die.
Yeah, sure. I think we all know.
Okay, what happens?
Well, you go to the sky and hope that all the good you did here will be rewarded.
Oh, no, no,
if
no,
not,
no, no.
You
no.
go downstairs.
Let's not go there. That's some...
Still talking.
Wait, wait, wait. That's just some belief that you've cooked up from somewhere in your memory. Have you actually seen this happen? Is there any way you can prove there's life after death?
Indeed, I can.
Dare I ask how?
Well, I read it in a book once, right?
No books. No books.
No books, huh? No books. Okay, I saw it in a movie which was based on a true story.
No.
Or okay, well, this is getting harder. I believe we go to a better place.
Okay, well, now we're just bringing up the whole challenges with beliefs, which is part of it, actually. So let's stick to facts. What happens is your body stops. Your brain turns off.
Ah, like after too many rounds of beers. No?
No.
Huh?
Hold on. Like this way. Like a PC, when you turn the power off, everything goes off. Right? There's no more software to run. Except you don't turn off the switch in this case. There is a permanent power outage.
What? No way. It comes back after the storm.
Please, this is just a metaphor.
Well, you said to keep it simple.
Okay, I did say that. So there's no more charge, no more brain function. There's no more memory here. There's no more thought, no more awareness. We can't really prove there is a life after death or a soul or any of that. Can we? We just simply don't know, right? Can we go on having this understanding at this moment?
All right, so everything's kaput. Yeah. Got it.
All right. So that means I have now absolutely no knowledge of what is happening to my body.
Yes, and putting aside what ideals we have invented about heaven and hell and all of that stuff, right?
Right. So it means that as far as I'm concerned, you could burn me to ashes and flush me down the toilet. And it's perfectly okay with me because I know I'm no longer here to experience any of it.
Then you'll finally get your dream of ending up in the ocean full of shit.
Hey, this is a clean show, okay? All right.
Okay, sorry.
So then what is the next question we need to ask?
Well, you're the expert.
No, wait, we said this before. I'm not an expert. Don't believe anything I say. We are talking and inquiring about this together. Now, this is an important part. So can we be as one here?
Yeah, but you mean after 5 minutes already, I'm not going to learn a thing from you? Yeah, so hell, what's new? Okay, but the only reason I'm agreeing, the only reason is because I have a date soon. Only kidding, let's do this.
All right, thank you. Done. All right, so the next question, what would it be? And please don't wait for me to answer this question that you need to go into deep here by yourself. Okay, we were talking about burning this speaker to ashes and flushing him down the toilet. All right?
Yeah, okay, right. I'll give it a try.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Don't you have any self-respect or...
With regards to what?
With
life? With death?
Well, to yourself, the way you want to be treated, the way we want to be.
Does any of that really matter to us once we are off? Once we have no more comprehension of it? Once there's nothing happening in our brains?
Okay, I see. Because once you're off, you can't think your way to self-respect, right?
Right. What do you mean by that? Go slow here.
Well, self-respect is a concept of the mind. You need to process information in your brain to kind of connect what self-respect means and what it is and what the image of that self should look like. But if you're dead, that means you can't do anything. I mean, it's not happening. The images are not there, right? So you can't really, they don't mean anything, right? Make sense? Yeah.
Okay, right. You got it. I wonder why we always wait for death to teach us about life and love.
Okay, Gab, oh my God, is this show going to make me depressed or happy? I need to know. I'm not sure.
No, it's not going to make you anything. Depression is also a concept that is created by thought. Let's look a little further into this. You're right on track here. Stay with the speaker.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks. Yes.
Can I ask a question? By the way, I've heard the expression that the bond of a loved one is not truly felt until they are no longer here. What do you think about that?
A very profound statement. Is there then a way to love someone to find that bond before they are no longer there in life form?
I'm not sure. Okay. What do you mean?
So every single day,
yeah,
we bring the images of our so-called loved ones into the current moment,
right?
Into the now.
Okay.
That is, you and I have an image of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Others have an image of us.
Yeah.
And we have created an image of others.
Well,
right?
Yeah. What do you?
Of lots of different people.
We can ask, what do you mean by images?
Okay. It means that you have accumulated knowledge about that person day after day for the whole time you're with them, whether it's one day or 20 years.
Ah, you mean information like their looks and their personality. And
right, their habits.
Their little nuances and things like
that. Yeah, you can actually predict what they're going to say before they say something or they do it.
Mm.
And since you know all of their little habits, because you built that image of him or her over time, you eventually lose appreciation for that person. The image could be that of your husband or your wife or your son, daughter, a parent, a grandparent, kids. We're always building images and attaching labels to them in these images, from their names to their nationalities to all their details and behaviors.
Yeah, I can see that, but what's wrong with it?
No. We're not getting in the game of judging again right now. We're just looking right now neutrally and seeing what we can see in this. Okay?
Okay, so what you're asking then, is there a way to blank those images?
Wait. I'm asking if there is a way to look at someone without all the images. Since we carry those images over time, over and over, it seems that we also build a certain dependency on them. So you see, when we started out in a loving relationship, now it becomes built on a relationship, not of the person, but over the images we have built of that person over a period of time.
It almost sounds like there's an illusionary layer that's operating in front of us, right? Like a set of glasses almost. That makes sense?
Yes, it is illusionary, actually. It's dividing us all. It's dividing you, me, them, everybody. And where there is division,
there cannot be love.
Are you following? I'm not sure if you're really following this.
Yeah, it makes sense. But now... Mm. Now I'm just completely overwhelmed with an extraordinary sense of sadness.
Why?
Well, because what happens to those images of that person when someone we supposedly love dies? And then we don't have them anymore.
Okay, what happens? Go through it slowly. Don't rush this part. Mm. Take your time.
Well, people normally keep pictures and photos. And they have memories of this person, of the things they...
Yes, memories, things that the person has touched and so forth.
Yeah, so why do you keep interrupting?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Go on.
Thanks. Where does that feeling or emotion of sorrow come from, by the way?
That's a good question. Where does it come from?
Yeah, but I'm asking you this question.
No, keep going. Don't give up so easily, please. This is serious work. Understanding this is big insight for your life. Please keep trying.
All right, thank you. But sorrow comes from what? From what? I don't get it.
Mm. So you said you were treasuring those photos, those memories, uh-huh, and all of that. So what is it that's giving strength to that sorrow? In other words, why are you holding on to those things?
Man, this is too hard.
Okay, don't you miss that person?
Yeah, I miss that person if they're gone. Sure.
Okay, what else?
Well, I would feel, mm-hmm, abandoned or lonely because, mm-hmm, that person is no longer here. I mean, feel isolated. Mm-hmm. I can't experience laughing together and crying together and enjoying those moments together anymore with them, having fun together.
Okay, and then comes sorrow because you no longer have something that you used to have. It's now lost, gone. Doesn't that make you a little attached to that loss, that person?
Attached to...
What do you think?
Yeah, attached to the person or attached to the image of that person. Oh my God.
Okay. Did you get it? You know, if you were to repeat what you said a minute ago, did you notice how many times you said, I feel lonely, I feel isolated?
And all this time, I was just depending on that image for...
For what? For what exactly?
Just myself, my own selfish needs. I'm only thinking about me here, it seems. I'm lonely.
This is a very courageous and big realization, isn't it? Now, as long as there is sorrow, there cannot be love, because sorrow comes from the dependency of your own wants and needs. There is a greater question here, but we'll cover that another time.
Yeah, you're good.
When I'm dead physically, and of course brain dead too, I have no more existence here. In fact, I would much rather all of my work, publications, photos, all of that, videos and everything else be burned and flushed down the toilet as well. See, there needs to be absolutely for me no continuity or noise of me being still on this earth. There's no meaning in it other than my own selfishness to try and keep it all alive.
Yeah, wow. Okay, sounds a bit crazy, but I get it.
Well, it might, but let me go back to the question. Is there a way that we can look at our loved ones right now without all the baggage, all the images you've created of them afresh?
Yeah,
try it.
Well, I knew there was a reason for the date, but seriously, this sounds impossible. Come on, Gab.
Do it and see what comes about. And by the way, if you're watching or listening to this, folks, try and look into the eyes of a loved one without all the baggage and images and see what happens. Please find out for yourself.
Yeah. Then I have a question again. So who is all this for then?
Yes.
Who is all this for?
What is exactly?
All these funerals and these traditions and these ideals and all these gatherings when someone passes away and all this, you know, debacle of visiting.
Right.
Right.
Who?
Yeah, I wish you would answer at least one of my questions.
Okay, go slow. You got this.
Yeah. I mean, if I can't feel them after I'm gone, then why are people still spending their time on me, visiting my grave, cherishing my ashes? I would much rather they get on with their own precious life than to spend that time of life on me. You know, they should be, in a way, it sounds like a selfish worshiping activity in some weird, strange way. Does that make any sense? I don't know. To me, it does.
Which is why, if we no longer depended on the images we build about people, we live right now.
Well, yeah, that's it. We see it all new, all the time, afresh.
And what you experience is not a dependency of life, but freedom, which is life.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Gap.
And the world will live as one.